welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the Beyond the Pitch and FNX Media Networks. I'm your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we break down Chile as La Roja get ready to defend their Copa America title in the 2019 Copa America. Joining me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas. And tonight, from World Football Index, we have Mr. Adam Brandon. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me. Adam, I want to start out with you, and I want to discuss your ties to covering Chilean football, up to most recently.
Okay, yeah. So for those who don't know, my name's Adam Brandon. I'm from England, but I've been living in Chile for around a decade now. Since moving over here, really, I've passionately followed Chilean football, the national team and the domestic scene as well. In that time, obviously, I've seen some real highs with Chile triumphing in two Copa Americas and also giving a good showing in two good World Cups as well. But also suffered the low of not qualifying for Russia 2018, and also sort of seeing in the last few years a decline in Chilean domestic football. Certainly on the Copa Libertadores and Copa Sudamericana stage. So that's kind of been sad to see. As for real ties to Chile, well, that would be my family. My wife is Chilean. My son, who's 4.5, he was born here. So obviously he's Chilean as well. But yeah, I would say that I'm kind of emotionally invested in it because of the time I spent here, but I'm also kind of financially invested in it as well, given the fact that the better Chile do, that usually means more work for me. So, as a reporter and journalist on Chilean football, the better Chile do, usually the better it is for me.
you kind of aforementioned the idea of you being there for a decade, Adam, and you know, to go back a decade of how Chile has really succeeded in South American football, honestly, you know, going back to the 2010 World Cup and the whole process under Marcelo Bielsa, and then heading into obviously that World Cup in Brazil with Jorge Sampaoli, and then obviously the Copa America win on home ground, and then the following year in the United States. We've seen a resurgence of Chile in that perspective, but also some lows, as you had mentioned, the failure to qualify with this golden generation to the World Cup in Russia. How is the vibe now heading into this Copa America, especially now with the World Cup qualifiers coming up, you know, the fact that they are technically, of course, considered the two-time defending Copa America champions. What is the vibe currently in Chile heading into this tournament happening in a couple of weeks?
I would say overall it's pretty pessimistic. There isn't particularly much good vibes around the Chilean national team at the moment. As I mentioned earlier, like the domestic scene here is struggling a bit in CONMEBOL competitions and has done for a number of years. There's generally been sort of a lack of world-class talent, which has come through to replace to at least boost the golden generation squad, if not replace them. And yeah, it feels like this Copa America, it would be a huge surprise if Chile got to the semis for me, or even the final, I think. Because it's an aging, the key players are aging. We've seen a huge decline in the level of Alexis Sanchez, for example. And, you know, he was so key when Chile were at their best in the last few years. But I would guess a lot of the hopes for many Chileans here rests with Arturo Vidal. And especially sort of that midfield partnership he's got with Charles Aránguiz, who's also been a very key player and possibly the most underrated player in Chile's golden generation. If those two are on form throughout this tournament, then Chile could control games in midfield and could have a run. But everything we've seen at the moment under the Colombian head coach Ronaldo Arruda, I would say that feels quite unlikely at the moment. But I do have to keep trying to tell myself, basically, you know, we've only seen this Chile side under Rueda in friendly so far. So let's see how they get on in competitive fixtures.
Now, I want to jump in here because I want to talk about the main focus of the team. And I do want to get into the aging stars that we've had come through in what would be considered a golden generation for Chile. Like you said, Rueda comes on. He comes on in 2018, is really only coached friendlies. He comes on after the failure for the World Cup. And what becomes his main focus, without focusing on the aging players, what becomes Rueda's main focus in this tournament, you know, and going through?
Well, I think his main focus is similar as it is for many of these South American nations. You know, this Copa America, most teams are basically trying to get a formula together ahead of the World Cup qualifiers, which look like they are going to begin at the end of this year now. Originally, they had said it was going to be March 2020. But now they're talking about they're going to start in November 2019. So, you know, a lot of it is about trying to find the right squad of players to take Chile into those World Cup qualifiers and hopefully take them to Qatar. But that's obviously quite a long process. So you're going to have to mix and match a bit. So there's still going to be players from Chile's golden generation to give them best chance of doing something in this tournament. But I would personally like to see some youngsters given a chance in this squad this year, especially as Chile's hopes of winning it, as I've already mentioned, aren't exactly that high. So this could be an opportunity to blood some of the more promising talent.
You know, Adam, I think going into now the big story into the group stage, obviously, I think when we looked at the draw that happened a couple months ago, I think we're looking at really one of the toughest groups, if not the toughest, in terms of openness and just the fact that it's, I think, more even when you look at all the four teams. Just going in order, Chile will host Japan on the 17th at Sao Paulo, then travel all the way to Salvador to take on Ecuador, and then finish it off with, you know, probably the rival that they're going to have to battle it off for those top spots in Uruguay in the Maracana. So, you know, Joe, actually, I'll go to you first in this one, because obviously I think when you talked about this group when it was announced, I think we have to see that it's really open when you look at all the teams that are in this. But, you know, when you look at the Chile perspective and looking at everything that has going on to them over the last few months, especially with the new manager, does that give them a bit of a disadvantage heading into this group? Or do you feel that they're still among one of the favorites to perhaps top this group or finish among the top positions?
I think it's more of a disadvantage. You know, you look at this group, and I know we're only dealing with three groups, 12 teams, but this group, Rob, you know, when you look at the other two groups, you'd have to consider this group the group of death. I think there's four teams here that are very evenly matched. I think Ecuador can surprise a lot of other teams. We saw that at the start of the qualifying for the 2018 World Cup. If you remember, we had that discussion with Tim Vickery where Ecuador was leading the way at one point in World Cup qualifying. Now, we know they didn't end up qualifying, but that's still a team that is young. It is pretty quick and can surprise. We know Japan is definitely a high-quality side coming off of the World Cup. Uruguay, we know what they bring. They're one of the few teams that have a stable head coaching situation in this tournament, so I think they're at a disadvantage for me, Rob. That's the way I see it. This is a tough group, and I think it's going to be difficult to manage their way through, let alone top the group for me.
Absolutely. You know, Adam, just going back to you, you know, do you agree with Joe in that perspective that it is going to be tough for Chile in a kind of group or a tournament where, you know, it will be very hard for them to not qualify to the next round? And if so, if you have to pinpoint perhaps a tough game for the Chilean side, which one is it?
Yeah, I think the toughest one. They're all. I think they're potentially all quite tough. The opening game against Japan strikes me as being very, very important for the mood in the Chilean camp. Like I say, they haven't had a competitive fixture now since October 2017. when they lost away to Brazil and missed out on Russia.
I wanted to jump in because I would agree. I think using the word mood describes it very well, Adam. The fact that, you know, it kind of sets the tone and the style for the other two matches, especially when they get to come into that Ecuador match. I think the Japan match, having that match up front, I think is a good way to get started, because I don't know that Japan is the best quality team in this particular group, but it's certainly not the worst. And like you said, this is the kind of match that against a tactically sound team in Japan that can set the tone and set the mood for Chile with what they want to do moving forward against Ecuador and Uruguay in that final match on June 24th. I want to jump in here also and start to look at the players. I know that we've discussed it here a little bit. Obviously, we talk about the Golden Generation. The Golden Generation on this team is actually at this point quite old now. And just to bring up a few examples, Claudio Bravo, I don't even see his name listed, but he's on the northern side of 30. We look at players like Mauricio Isla, that's 30 years old.
Just to jump in there. For those who don't know, Claudio Bravo won't be going to Brazil for this tournament. There's been some political issues with him and the Chilean FA, and there's been a lot of tension between him and the current head coach as well. It hasn't been 100% confirmed, but I can't see him. I can't see him going.
That's interesting. I hadn't even heard that as of yet.
And also, it's the same case with Marcelo Diaz as well, one of the key players of the Golden Generation, and a player who's been in good form for Racing in Argentina over the last year. So there's been a real campaign from a lot of Chileans to get him into this side, because a lot of people believe that Chile still miss a player like Diaz. But again, there's some issues with him and a lot of the squad, certainly the camp within the squad led by Arturo Vidal. There's been a big falling out, and it's kind of split the camp a little bit. Claudio Bravo and Marcelo Diaz are two players that I don't think we'll probably see for the foreseeable future in the red of Chile.
Wow. What kind of – give us, I guess, some of the younger players then, because obviously, you know, like we said, obviously with Bravo and Diaz out, Medel is – I believe he's 31, I want to say. Arturo Vidal, 32 years old. Alexis Sanchez is on, if I remember right, 30 or 31, 30 years old. So – you know, there's a lot of age on this team. Some would call it experience, but you've got to look at it as age at this point. So where are we looking to for younger players? Give us a few of the up-and-coming players that will kind of fill in these roles for these players.
Yeah, in terms of young talent, it's quite few and far between, really. I can't really give you too many kind of young, promising names which are going to be going to Brazil. It's been kind of a big problem here, as I mentioned earlier in this chat, that there just hasn't really been the talent coming through. And there are a couple of players I like, but whether they will make the final cut for this Brazil squad, I'm not sure. Probably the pick for me is Ignacio Saavedra, who is a 19-year-old defensive midfielder, currently plays for Universidad Católica. I think he's got a big future ahead of him, but I can't see him playing in this Copa America. In terms of players who didn't play much last time around when Chile won the Copa America, Eric Polga, who is now 25, he's had a stellar, certainly second half of the season with Bologna in Italy, and he will probably play quite a key role in this Copa America, I'm struggling really to give you many names at this point. I'm hopeful that in about 5 years' time, there will be a few more names coming up. The current Chile under 17 squad, for example, has quite a few promising names in it. But yeah, generally, a couple of the younger promising Chilean players of the last couple of years haven't made the right moves as well. So yeah, it's a bit bleak at the moment.
Why are we seeing such a fall off of talent in Chile? You know, I mean, unfortunately, we're comparing it to a golden generation, like we said earlier. But it sounds to me like there's a massive fall off from that quality to where we are today, or where we're going.
Well, I think it's just sort of a lack of quality coaching in the country, and kind of a lack of leadership at the top level as well. For me, when Marcelo Bielsa came in and basically changed the way Chile played football, gifted them a style of play which was very suited to how Chilean footballers are. That basically hasn't been followed up at the youth levels. So there's no sort of uniformed identity of play going through the youth systems, which, if you look at some of the success stories in international football in the last few years, you will probably find that there is an identity running through all the coaching at all the levels. Chile just don't have that. And that is something which I feel has to change in the next few years if Chile are going to consistently develop talent. Because, to be honest, if you look at the history of Chilean football, it isn't a country which has consistently produced world-class stars anyway. On average, you've got about two sort of every 10, 15 years or so that come through. Before Sanchez and Vidal made that huge sort of international break into sort of superstardom, the two players who did similar before that, you know, were 10, 15 years beforehand in breaking through, and that was Zamorano and Salas. And then you'd have to go sort of another maybe 15, 20 years before that with players such as Carlos Caselli and Alaïs Figueroa. And so, yeah, it's the production line of talent in Chile isn't particularly consistent. And yeah, at the moment, it's pretty much stopped altogether. But like I say, I do have some hopes that maybe we will see some top talent come through again within the next sort of 5 years, and certainly the next 10, I would say.
So just heading into, I guess, the whole tournament as a whole, and kind of a little bit of a prediction now, you know, what are you looking to assess this Chilean side? You know, what is something that you expect or hopeful that this Chilean side could do in this Copa America? Not particularly to just win it, if they obviously are not considered favorites to do so, but, you know, to build off from that, failure to qualify to the World Cup, and use that as, you know, I guess, motivation to hopefully not have that done again heading into Qatar 22. Is that the way that the Chilean public is viewing that, or is it more of a different perspective?
Well, I think the expectation at the moment is, yeah, try and get out of this group. First of all, I think most people would at the very least expect that still from the squad of players which are heading to Brazil. But I don't think that there's many people here who expect much more than that. And I think what the process now is going to be is just getting some of the better sort of under 20 talent blooded within the next year. It doesn't look like Rueda will do that in this Copa America. And like I say, there isn't a huge talent pool there anyway. If there's players which are shining on the domestic scene, then maybe try and get them in the Chile set up early to try and raise their level as quickly as possible.
So to close out, Adam, I want to ask you about what a Copa America title would mean to the Chilean FA, the Chilean people. But not only that, as it would be their third consecutive title, and in the modern Copa America era, it has never been done before. What kind of signal would it send to the other South American countries?
I don't think many people would be able to believe it, to be honest. Yes, after 99 years of hurt, to suddenly win three in a row would be, pretty much unprecedented, like you say, within the history of South American modern football. And certainly in Chile's history, you know, it's something that you'd have to say is very unlikely. So if it did happen, I think the whole country would be in shock for a number of days.
Well, it is South America, so, anything could happen.
Yeah.
It's true.
What I will say is that I think that this is quite an open Copa America, mm-hmm. In terms of I don't think there is a particularly outstanding team heading into it in sort of top form. You know, if it was played 18 months ago, you would say that Brazil were completely nailed on. But they still seem to be having a little bit of a hangover from last year's World Cup disappointment. They also have to deal with the pressure of being at home. And we saw how badly they coped with that in 2014 at times, and certainly towards the end. If I had to predict a team who I think are probably best placed to win it at this point, it would be either Brazil or Uruguay. But I think it's a tournament where anything could happen, really. And I wouldn't be massively surprised if Qatar and Japan got a couple of wins over the South Americans.
And ultimately, you know, for the record, where do you expect Chile to finish? As a neutral, which I know is tough to do, what would you expect Chile's final position to be in this tournament?
Probably a quarterfinal exit, I would imagine.
Okay.
And anything more than that would be a nice surprise.
No doubt.
And anything less than that wouldn't be a huge shock, but it would be disappointing all the same.
No doubt about it. Adam and Rob, thank you both for joining me tonight. Again, Adam Brandon from World Football Index and my co-host Roberto Rojas. Thank you for joining me as we break down Chile in the 2019 Copa America preview series. Again, this is Joe Uccello for This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football. Thanks for listening and good night.